As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Today on the show, we talk to Teju Owoye of The Salt Group. In 6 months, she's built a million-dollar business using viral loops and growth hacks. And today, she's here to tell us that story and teach us how we can do it ourselves. So stay tuned. We'll get right into the interview. Welcome to Rocketship.fm. Podcast where we explore startups from funding to growth, from culture to sales, and everything in between. I'm Michael Saka.
I'm Mike Belsito.
And I'm Joelle Goldman.
Really excited to have you on today to talk about some growth.
Yes, excited as well. Thanks, Michael. Really excited to be here.
Absolutely, yeah. So tell me a bit, give me the high level for the Salt Group, which you've built.
Sure. So we are a growth marketing, or some people say performance-based marketing agency. So we take what a traditional agency does, the creative marketing strategy, and then we fuel that into what, you know, a dev shop does. So we're looking at what I call our growth cycles and identifying the key traction channels to help a company hit a growth trajectory. And all for, you know, the least spend. So we're trying to optimize ROI through a series of experiments. So long story short, when I try to explain that to my friends, I'm like, think of us as like a marketing lab. We're trying to figure out, you know, what are the perfect mixes in order for you to attract and convert the most customers.
So is there a methodology behind this? Do you have several channels that you often test and then you're narrowing down to two, or how does it work?
Yes, absolutely. A great question. So where we typically start is we start with the persona mapping. So a brand will come to us and say, hey, listen, I want to really work with millennial women entrepreneurs, or I want to expand in this marketplace, or I'm a new company starting from ground zero. who will be my ideal customers? I have some type of idea and I've done that market research, but I want to understand how to attract and convert them in the easiest, fastest, and most effective way. And then I want to make that a sustainable system. So we have a 5-step process that we use, and it's, you know, a series of algorithms. It is also a whole bunch of testing across traction channels. There's about 25 different traction channels that we're across. And by traction channel, I mean things like Facebook ads, your Google ads, looking at your SEO, how your search engine marketing is kind of optimized and configured, all the way to, some offline stuff as well. So events, looking at experiential marketing programs. So we're trying to back into, for that persona, where are they online, where are they offline, and what's the easiest way for us to attract and convert them, for us to get them interested in the product, and then also play upon what their intrinsic motivations are. And that's really the most powerful thing that we do in that persona stage, understanding people's intrinsic motivations so that we can build out that step, which we call a conversion journey, in order to get them from, hey, I'm hearing about this product, to, wow, I can't believe that I'm not engaged with this yet, and I've got to have this because it solves a key problem. And then let's convert them. And then also after that, continue to engage and turn them into these raving fans where they can't wait to refer the product, the platform, or the service to their network. And that's really where the sustainability really comes into play, is when you've got raving fans who say, hey, I know 5 people in my network who really could use this product or platform. I'm going to tell them about it. It creates this viral loop and the sustainable funnel where a brand, pays for a little bit of ads, and they've already got a conversion journey set up that helps them to win all the way throughout.
So it sounds like it goes deeper than, I need a broom, here's an ad for a broom, where you're going deeper into the persona. Take me there. Explain to me a little bit about what you're doing at that stage to go beyond product-to-product marketing.
Absolutely. We want to, and you think about like why people are buying products, and my background specifically, I spent a lot of time studying behavioral economics. I've been always fascinated by consumer behavior. And pre-starting Salt Group, just to give some context, I was actually building incentive programs for Fortune 500 companies. So I was going into these big organizations and figuring out how we could motivate their population to live a healthier life, and then setting up these incentive triggers and gamifying that entire experience in order to get more people to engage in a sustainable way over time. And then for them to improve their key biometrics. So, we're doing like walking campaigns, different challenges, integrating with a whole bunch of different other vendors to create these systems in this program. So when I started Salt, I was really fascinated about how the levers and the mechanics of how that worked. Really understanding the root why behind why people are purchasing products, why people are engaged, and why people love brands. And that's really the core of our persona work. So we're looking at someone, we use an algorithm internally that actually scrapes data from a variety of different sources. And it sounds a little sketchy, but, we're following people online pretty much. We're following people and understanding people. And it's funny when I go into a new account, I'm like, hey guys, just bear with us. This seems a little weird. We're going to look at your people. We're going to also find new people who are your potential customers. And we're going to do a bit of detective work to figure out, who are their influencers online? Like what podcasts are they listening to? What conferences do they go to? What Twitter accounts are they really the most interested and engaged with? What were their last purchases? Like we're really getting down to hardcore data to understand that consumer behavior. And then also what typically is their path of conversion? And then once they convert, what does that post engagement look like? And I think that that's something that a lot of brands fall off on. They're like, okay, great. We got the customer, on to the next. What we're focused on is what happens after you get the customer and how do you turn that person into a referral partner, an evangelist for your product. So that persona work, we're mapping all of these different data points, and we'll typically start off with about 4 different personas, different age, socioeconomic backgrounds, demographics, psychographics, and then we're mapping a conversion journey that's really unique to that person. So instead of, as you're saying, Facebook ad, buy a broom, we're saying, okay, we know that this person is at this conference, they really love reading Inc. articles, and they're following this author online. let's figure out how we can get engaged at that level so that the brand is omnipresent to that person and that consumer, and create this experience where we're feeding them customized content along the way through emails, you know, through ads, through the keywords that we're targeting, so on and so forth. So this person feels like the brand is speaking to them in a really authentic way.
So what kind of tools are you using for that? I mean, there's a lot of data like available, but how do you organize it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm a tools junkie myself. So I feel like, you know, I'm like, oh, what's this? Or what's this tool? Or, there's a ton of different things that we're looking at. So we have internally, we fill out, a custom dashboard that's, built off of some custom API integrations that feeds in data for us so that we're actually looking at a snapshot, and it kind of helps us to narrow in on specifically where we need to focus for that brand. However, there's a ton of just consumer facing and company facing and agency facing tools that anyone can use that we still actually do look at because it has a lot of powerful data. So things like Charlie, there's a great app called Charlie. They also have a desktop platform where you can enter someone's information, their email address or their name, and you get a whole, you know, kind of like bio of everything that they're doing online. So where they mention, what articles, did they share online, gives you context on their background, what other companies that they've worked in. It pulls in some LinkedIn data. So it's a really powerful snapshot that I recommend anyone use, you know, whether you're a salesperson that's a prospecting, you know, a marketer looking to have more meaningful engagements in your conversion journey. Charlie's a really great tool. We're also looking at Hotjar. I love Hotjar. Just the heat maps have such powerful data in them. Understanding, you know, kind of where the key places that users are clicking, and then what are some pain points and opportunities. We're mapping the conversion rates through Hotjar. So that's another great tool. There's like a Twitter, algorithm. It's Twitonomy, I think it's pronounced. That's a great one that we use. I mean, we're pulling in data from so many different tools, and then also like leveraging our own algorithm. We have a dashboard called Salt Dash, and that dashboard allows us to get, you know, that data into one place. So, the great thing is that information is just so readily available. I mean, even just looking on LinkedIn, you can get a lot of information about what people are interested in and start to like build this story. I think the story is really key. What are they interested in? Why? What has prompted them to get to a certain point, and what are they struggling with? And that's what I get interested in. And my team we have growth strategists on our team. They get really interested in what are people struggling with question, and how can we solve that through marketing and also product. So how can the marketing communicate that the product really quickly is going to solve that problem in the most meaningful way?
Very nice. Yeah. So, this is something that all businesses should be doing. It's just, it's hard to have the time always to dedicate to it. So what have you seen in the space? Have you seen any trends, or there are people that you generally work with because you know how their demographic works? Is this kind of across the board?
You know, we have clients across the board, everything from, brick and mortar cycling studios to software as a service platforms, and apps, all sorts of different types of companies. I will say my background is in software as a service. So I love SaaS platforms. I love community building, creating companies that really capitalize on that network effect, because the viral loops become really powerful in those types of settings. But any business, small businesses, for example, actually my sister owns a bakery, and we were testing some viral loops and persona marketing with her bakery. And, it was so interesting to see how we could set up sustainable referral systems with the bakery. So, hey, if you purchase a cake and you bring on someone, it's just as simple as that. If you bring on someone else to purchase a cake, we're going to give you an additional discount. And a lot of brands that they're going through building out, small businesses to big businesses, they're building out their marketing strategy. They're forgetting that part that, people like to buy from people they know and trust. Consumers are, and I forget the exact statistic, but it's like 90% on up more likely to purchase from someone that they know, or to take a product recommendation from someone that's a first degree connection. And that is a really, that's why influencer marketing has become such a big thing, which we also do as well as attraction channel. But that is a really powerful thing to remember. So, you know, I think about when someone tells me about a new restaurant, I'm automatically like, I got to go check that out. Whereas when true. I see a banner ad, I'm like, I don't know about that. I'm like, on to the next, or like on to doing something else.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, how can we create those, you know, in-person referrals in an online and offline way? But, you know, it's got to come through incentives. People are motivated by incentives that play upon their intrinsic motivation. You know, so if we find that we've got a cohort of personas that are really, really interested in being influencers and being the one that, you know, talks about the hottest restaurant, the coolest nightclub, whatever it may be, we're trying to find ways to help them be that person, but then also to get rewarded for doing that. You know, and it's powerful across any type of business. It is just doing the due diligence, and you can start small. You can start with one persona. And I always tell companies, look at your top sales, you know, sales, the people that you have bought the most of your product, your sales data, and look at the top people. Also understand, you know, what are your top products? And if you can find out who that person is, who's buying the most, who's your VIP customer, take a look at their attributes, where they're from, what background, you know, what their income level is, and try to replicate that into, you know, like Facebook ads calls it, lookalike audiences, and find more people who are like that online. And just even starting there is a really powerful way to quickly win new customers and new business and to start building out that sustainable marketing system.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. So now, back to the show. All right, cool. Yeah, so take me through the five steps for using viral loops and growth marketing hacks.
Absolutely. So the first thing, which we talked about earlier, is just the persona mapping. So really getting clear on who your personas are, where they are, how old they are, all the demographic, psychographic data, and getting that mapped. We actually document that and put it on a whiteboard in our office so that we can really understand the people that we're working with. Then we map out that conversion journey. So based on what we learned in that persona mapping, what are the key touch points that we need to hit? Where do we need to hit them? When? What emails do we need to send out? What is the tone? What is the imagery? So we're mapping all of that and, you know, coming up with this, you know, sequential steps. So we need to send them an email. Maybe there needs to be a phone call outreach. Let's maybe do an exclusive influencer dinner with a couple of people that we're really trying to convert. You know, really the sky's the limit, but it's got to be meaningful for that persona. And then we map that out and then automate it as much as possible, especially through email marketing.
Okay.
I'm a big fan, even for small businesses, a lot of people when they start off, they'll go right away to, you know, just like a tactical email send platform like MailChimp, which is great in some respects. But automated email, the platforms help to make this a lot easier. So I'll move companies, even small businesses, right away to ActiveCampaign or an Infusionsoft or Marketo or a HubSpot, so that you can do predictive analysis and then also sequential emails based on action. So, for example, if you have a persona that you find out every time they click on contact us, that means that they're interested and they need to, you know, get some type of response with maybe an incentive link to it via email. These systems will handle that automatically for you, so you're not manually looking up those people. So we'll do that next. And then we develop the viral loop. That's the third step in the process. So we're trying to figure out, what is the biggest value? You know, at what point are people actually unlocking the value in your service, your platform, your product? If it's your product, it is the product itself. And then we're implementing some type of gate right before they unlock that value to get them to refer a friend to be a part of the product, program, and platform to put more people into your conversion funnel and more people on that journey. So right at that, you know, pre-point, we're saying, hey, a pop-up will, you know, we'll integrate a pop-up, or we'll send an email, or, you know, do a phone outreach. Hey, for you to get more value, or for you to unlock that value, refer a friend or post on social media. You know, I think about like the Dropbox phenomenon where they were, you know, when they first launched, it was, you know, hey, tweet that you love Dropbox or share with friends in order to unlock more, you know, space. So that's a really powerful way to create that sustainable marketing system, so that when you do spend money on ads, you know that once people get to a certain point, they're automatically referring you to their network and unlocking more customers. Then the fourth step are traction tests. So once we get all that set up, then we're going into, you know, those 25 traction channels. Like, what is the channel that we need to hit? Where do we need to hit the persona? You know, do we need to run a YouTube video ad? Do we need to be at this event? You know, what are the most effective and cost-efficient traction channels at the top of the funnel that we can implement? And then we start testing those to see which work. And we typically will focus just on three. So, you know, we were running a campaign for a new platform that we just helped a client launch. And we found out that a combination of Facebook ads plus actually doing smaller events and affiliate marketing was the most effective traction channel. So we're only focused there and using that as a way to attract those personas and drive them through the conversion journey. And then we really hone in on channel focus. So we'll, you know, further focus, look at the data, see what's performing, focus on one at that point, and then dump all of our budget. So like make the biggest bet in that one, so that we're quickly moving through getting as many people as possible until that channel starts to peter out. So you'll be able to see when we look at the reports, okay, hey, we're not getting as many conversions after a month or two. Now let's implement maybe the second best channel, and then focus our budget here. And that allows us to move through this whole process we call a growth cycle. That allows us to iterate and move through those growth cycles really, really quickly, but then net the highest ROI in the most efficient way.
Very nice. Yeah. And then it's kind of a rinse and repeat.
Exactly.
So you could either go back to step four or step one, depending on where you're at. Yeah.
Exactly. And yep. So, you know, with our clients, we map out, you know, just like developers do in their agile development. So we say, hey, this is, you know, here are the channels we're focusing on for this growth cycle. We're going to do one, two, and three, take a look at the results. Then let's go all the way on three. Let's make the biggest bet there. And maybe it's Facebook ads, for example. Let's double down our spend there and do a land grab to get as many people through the funnel and convert as many as possible. And then, you know, maybe after a month or two, that's starting to, you know, fizzle out. Then let's go back to step four and figure out, you know, maybe the next best thing was an affiliate program. Let's really focus there and put a ton of spend there to get the most, you know, most affiliates on board and the most customers in their network and really focus. And I think that the focus is critical. You know, a lot of customers are doing too many things, but not spending enough. You know, so I would say focus on what's working and like put your money there, you know, make the biggest bet there. Because when you're doing 10 different things, but you're maybe spending, you know, $1,000 here, you know, $100 here, you're not going to get that effect, you know, as quickly. And then you'll start spinning your wheels and wasting a ton of dollars, you know, over time.
Very nice. And you actually grew your business this way. You started with $100, and in 6 months you had a six-figure company. Yes. Tell me about that. There's a story there. So.
Oh, there is such a story. So, I love entrepreneurship. I'm always hacking. I was the person. From the age of 5, we used to, do plays with my family. We're super close. So they always like throw these plays and have my parents come. And I would charge them to come to the play. Like always be closing. I was always trying to sell something,
Right.
Even to my own family. So, it's been like the long running joke. And I've just been fascinated with, how do we like make products, how do we create things? And, went and worked in corporate America for a long time, worked in insurance, got hired away to work for a couple wellness companies, ended up in tech at was one of the first employees at a company. I was employee like 12 at a company called Limeade. And that was my first startup experience. So, before that I was in the big Fortune 500 companies, used to the corporate credit card. And, went to this tech startup where it was like literally me in a room of developers and our founding team, kind of like hacking and working in the back end of the system, trying to sell customers. It was like this crazy experience for me, but it ignited this passion that had kind of gone latent since I had worked in corporate America, this passion to create, to build, to be at the forefront of something, and started tinkering then. I actually went to a tech incubator called Founder Institute. And started tinkering on different business ideas and testing, and started an e-commerce site called Tosoto. It's still up and running, but that was my first, big jump into entrepreneurship. Left my corporate job at the startup in order to, work full time in this e-commerce business. And going into it, I was super naive about entrepreneurship. I think I still, even though I'd worked at a startup, I was still very much like, there's going to be someone to do this and manage the website. And talk about trial by fire. I mean, I like quickly went broke, like threw a great launch party in San Diego for this company. I had like no sales. Like I just was, clueless about how to run a startup. And it was so painful at the time, but it was exactly what I needed when I look back on it. I mean, I learned in and out about lean testing. I started to, as things were quickly spiraling with this company, I was like, wow, we're not selling any products. I have no clue what I'm doing or how to do this. I didn't go into it with mentors, which is like one of the things that any entrepreneur that I work with or speak with now, I'm like, you've got to get mentors, talk to people who've already done what you want to do. So that you can save years and a ton of expensive mistakes.
Right.
tons of expensive mistakes that will leave you, wondering what happened to your Wells Fargo account. just learned a ton. And I started to quickly educate myself by reading. I mean, I was, I spent one summer, this is probably about 3-4 years ago at this point, just voraciously reading books, like anything I could get my hands on. I was reading like Lean Startup, Eric Ries, like mindset books, Thinking Grow Rich, Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, I was like really in a how to be an entrepreneur 101 boot camp, getting as much information as possible so I could understand the mechanics. I think that there's an art and a science to starting a business. Anyway, what happened was I was running out of money. I needed to make money fast, and I got hired as a consultant to work for an ad agency. To work on some of their bigger accounts like Starbucks and Lipton and Aquafina, and came in to do a bit of copywriting and also some behavioral analysis to reach some niche markets. Okay. And sat at this agency, getting paid well finally, eating snacks and thinking like, wow, this is the life. I'm coming up with ideas and getting paid to do this. This is super cool. However, where is the data? How are we tracking those campaigns that we're running? And this agency was more on the creative side, so there wasn't really that. And I was like, wouldn't it be interesting? One of the things I always loved in working with devs at my startup was these agile sprints. So I was like, wouldn't it be interesting if we took some of these amazing creative ideas, found ways to link them back so that we could implement trackable, measurable data and results, and then did it in a way that was based on this agile sprint philosophy. So we could quickly test something in a month and then iterate if it wasn't working. And that's how I started Salt, and literally started just cold calling customers, did some persona work myself, and started, kind of magically, emailing the right content at the right time for some people that I had identified needed some growth help. So it was like scanning articles and had RSS feeds set up where I was able to see, you know, if a company was struggling with growth, I would magically email them, hey, I saw this article that, you know, you're kind of at a flat trend right now. Here are some ideas I have for you. And I really came from a place of giving and service. So I gave away a lot of information, which, you know, it can be, people are like, oh, you've got to wait until you make the sale. You know, I want to educate to demonstrate value right away. And that's what helped me to close my first customers.
So take me through that a little bit more. Who were the first personas that you pursued?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first personas, and the way I did this, I was like, you know, I've already lost so much money in another business. I want to make sure too that, and I, you know, I had a really profound turning moment. I have a mentor who is an alum I finally got a mentor as I was, you know, kind of struggling through Tissoto. And, you know, he's like, hey, you know what, with your current e-commerce business, you're not really solving anyone's problems. And I was like, oh, yikes, you know, no wonder this is not working and this feels so hard.
It's a good and mentor, like, though.
He's like, I hate to break it to you. And I was like, wow, I should have probably talked to you 2 years ago. But okay, you know, let me now think about how I can pivot and actually build a business where people have a glaring need, where like the need is expressed somewhere in a very concrete way. Mm. Because I didn't have a lot. I had like $100 to start this thing. And, you know, what I started to do when I was crafting Salt was, you know, hey, why don't I go to looking at job postings? So I was actually like spending time scanning Craigslist and Indeed and, you know, LinkedIn job posts to find out who was hiring. Was anyone hiring for like this growth marketing role? Was anyone looking for, senior marketing leadership? Did anyone just fire an agency? So I'd set up all these RSS feeds. And then I was actually backing into the people who had what I call now a lukewarm lead, who had expressed some type of interest. And I was doing a ton of research on those people to develop those personas. So the first couple were, combination of software as a service companies who had let go of their CMO, because there was actually data that shows that within the first 3 months of a CMO's tenure at a new company, that's when they're hiring a new agency. So trying to understand, like, where are those CMOs, looking, how are they vetting agencies? Where are they online? What conferences are they at? So I could go to those conferences. And then also, I was also interested in smaller local businesses in Los Angeles. So there's a couple of, because my background's in health and wellness, I was looking at, you know, smaller boutique fitness chains, because boutique fitness, especially in LA at the time and still is, was exploding. So it's like, wow, there's a great market opportunity there. Because I know that space, why don't I look for those companies? And it was typically the persona ended up looking something like, you know, a company with or a chain studio with maybe two or three locations. They have one person in marketing that, you know, has been trained traditionally. They don't understand growth hacks. They need to, in order to raise the next round of funding to keep their studio chains growing or to franchise, they need some serious growth quickly. And I kind of knew the hack that they needed in order to get to that point. And I would email them just enough information to pique their interest and to get that meeting.
Right. It's like, I know what you need to do. You could do it on your own. Or you could have me do it for you, right? Yeah. And it's the same sale for software, because you could build it on your own, or you could just pay me, you know, $50-$100 a month and use mine, which is a great call to action there.
Right, exactly.
So, Well, thank you so much for coming on here. Where can we keep up with you and the work that you're doing with Salt?
Absolutely. So you can head over to saltgroup.com, our website. Follow us on social media. We're at Salt Group across all channels. And then me, I'm at Teju TV. I host a YouTube show where I talk about less hacks and, you know, how to do more and how to do less and live more. So you can go to @Teju_TV and get all the crazy hacks that I'm working on. I'm always tinkering and testing and trying to find a new way to optimize things. So follow me there to check out those new hacks that I'm coming up with.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael.
Big thanks to our sponsor today, Prezi Business. If you're tired of selling your customers using the same old slide decks, try Prezi Business, the engaging interactive presentation platform that features built-in analytics, cloud-based collaboration tools, and the unique ability to adapt to the flow of the conversation. Perhaps it's time to update your marketing and your professional reputation with presentations that customers will actually enjoy. And remember, go to Prezi.com/rocketship. That's Prezi.com/rocketship and get your slides Prezified today. If you're enjoying the show and enjoying this growth series, please subscribe so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at Rocketship FM. You can visit us online at rocketship.fm. You can follow me at Michael Sacca, Joel at Joel Goldman, and Mike Belcito at Belcito. We'll see you back here in just a couple days.